Shoftim Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph tells us a story very similar to one that we saw earlier with Gideon not that long ago. At the end of Gideon's war with the Midianim, we saw Shevet Ephraim come forward and stake a claim that they should have been called earlier, that they should have been part of the battle. In fact, Gideon had called them at the end to chase down the remnants of the Midianites, and they were resentful that their brother Menashe, who was the subservient brother in the relationship between Ephraim and Menashe, took care of the battle without Ephraim's involvement. And in that case, Gideon had humbled himself and said that even the weakest of Ephraim were far stronger than the strongest of Menashe, and that he himself was from a family that wasn't of tremendous stature within Menashe itself, and he pacified them and humbled himself. But Yiftach is a very different kind of character, as we have seen. He is extremely strong-willed. He is a blunt instrument, where Gideon was different from him. And when Ephraim is going to say something similar, and apparently, and the Ma'am Lois suggests, they say it in a rougher and much more confrontational way, Yiftach is the leader of his generation. And his generation is very different from Gideon's. Vayitzo'ek ish Ephraim. And so the men of Ephraim were gathered. Vayitzo'ek, we said several times, when you gather troops, there's a lot of yelling, tzaka, so vayizak, vayazek, vayitzo'ek, all variations on the word of kind of yelling to get your troops together, but it usually refers to gathering. The men of Ephraim, vayavar tzafona, and they crossed to the north. So they crossed over the Yarden River into the Transjordan and headed north to where Yiftach and his people were all set up in Gilad. Vayomru li Yiftach, and they said to Yiftach, in a very demanding way, Madua avarta lihilochem b'vnei Amon. How come you crossed over to make war against the B'nai Amon all the way out to the east? V'lanu lo karasa lo leches imach. And you did not call us to go with you. Beischa nisrof olecho v'esh. We are going to burn your house down upon you. So several things are true of this confrontation that are not true of the earlier one with Gideon. First of all, in the earlier case with Gideon, at least they were called near the end, and they just showed resentment that they were not called in the beginning. In this case, they were not even called at the end of the campaign. So perhaps there's more resentment here than there was before. More than that, in this case, they are much more belligerent in the way that they're expressing themselves. And the Ma'am Lois suggests that the generation of Yiftach was less refined than the generation of Gideon was. We certainly know that Yiftach himself was less refined than most of the other Shoftim. We don't hear anything about Yiftach gathering an army of the faithful and winnowing it down from 30,000 to 300 the way that Gideon did. Yiftach himself was not as righteous as Gideon was. He did not demonstrate humility or mercy the way Gideon had. He didn't get the level of prophecy that Gideon had. So the Ma'am Lois points out several ways in which Yiftach is different, but Yiftach's entire dar may have been different as well. More than that, apparently there is a great deal of resentment against Shvatim that are on the other side of the Yarden River. The Shvatim that lived in Eretz Yisrael on the west side of the Yarden River looked down on those who lived in the east side in the land of Sichon and Og that had been taken by from the Amori. They considered them somehow inferior. They considered them lesser. And the issue of the fact that they were from Menashe. Yiftach also belonged to Menashe, just as Gideon did. And the Das Sofrim says that the people of Ephraim felt like they were being deliberately excluded. They were extremely bitter about the fact that they are supposed to be the greater brother, the leadership brother. Abar Benel says that Ephraim was angry because Menashe is their brother, and brothers should call the other brother for help. The Lev Aaron says that by not calling them for help, he amplifies the Abar Benel's point. Menashe may have been demonstrating that they viewed Ephraim as insignificant. So they cross the Yarden into Gilad now, coming up to the north, demanding to know why Yiftach had not called them for battle. He went with very few soldiers. He had endangered his life. He had had a nace that then caused him to make this tragic vow that we have seen the fallout of regarding his daughter. So Ephraim says, if we had been with you, maybe you wouldn't have needed this vow and this nace that made everything go so badly. Lev Aaron, brought down by Rabbi Ilan Ginyan, writes beautiful Sfarim on Nach, says that they were coming to avenge the vow and the death of his daughter. Since she was burned as a carbon olah, he should be burned in his house, midah keneged midah. But the Mefarshim say, because Yiftach had risked his life for the sake of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had called him and he stepped right up, the people of Ephraim are messing with forces much bigger than themselves, especially if they have any selfishness involved in their particular demands and threats. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to protect them. And Yiftach is not going to turn the other cheek, as it were. He's not going to become a person who suddenly gives them soft answers and tries to conciliate by making them feel good about themselves. In a manner of speaking, they had a warning shot earlier with Gidon. And now when they do it again with Yiftach, that's a big mistake. And so Yiftach is going to pay them back in kind. And there's going to be a great deal of suffering that results from this very peremptory challenge that the men of Ephraim are coming to bring.